An entertaining day of racing out at Caulfield on Saturday. In studio to look back with me is Michael Sharkey. How are you, Mick?
Yeah, good, John. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. We had an entertaining day of racing at the Heath.
We did. We certainly did.
We'll get to Voodoo Lad later because I know you were very bullish on Friday. But let's start with race number one. Now, Team Hawks, they have good horses. And this O'Reilly chap, they've just been waiting. It's a late-season two-year-old. But, gee, the way he hit the line and the time he ran, pretty smart, I think.
Yeah, Brutal's the horse you speak of course. And we'd heard a little bit about him for sort of far back as 6 months or so ago because he had been training really well at Flemington. He looked to have any amount of ability. It was just a question of when they wanted to take the shackles off him and take him to the races. But, you know, the Hawks team have had many good horses, many very, very good horses over the years, over the decades.
Mm.
They know when they're ready to go to the races, and there was just something there in Brutal's makeup that said, no, give him a bit more time. And we saw the patience rewarded there on Saturday. That was a brilliant win. There are three 1,200-metre races on the day. He ran faster than all of them. Even though he was a little bit slower early, it was like a controlled speed early while these young horses found their spot. Yeah, I think also a few of the jockeys might have been looking back towards gate one with the other debutant who was really well fancied, Ronan's Rock. He knuckled really badly about sort of 10 yards after the start, and sort of everyone looked back because he does have good speed. And once he was out of play, they all wanted to find their spot. So it was a bit of a cautious sort of first 400 metres of that race, but after that, Brutal just controlled the race from there on and slipped away and went through his gears, and well, he was phenomenal. It was a really, really nice win. There's always a risk of getting carried away with these off-season horses, John, but I think we can trust our eyes to a degree with that race because Brutal had been showing up at the jump outs and looking like he was a good horse. Same could be said for Ronan's Rock, who has run an enormous race, even though he's been beaten five lengths. He was rarely asked by Craig Williams to do any more than just improve under his own steam. And when beaten, he wasn't flogged to the line. He still run a clear second. And Hummer Mama, who we know was already stakes placed, she was probably the best backed runner on race day. She was 350 in the morning into 280 as favourite, with that softening of the market around Brutal and Ronan's Rock, because all the business had been done with them in the early markets. Punters just, you know, itchy fingers waiting to back these horses they've been watching at jump outs. But she's a pretty good benchmark for form as far as the ones that had been to the races. So I think we'll see both first and second go on and contest some of those early spring group
like
races.
Like the McNeil, for example?
Yeah, McNeil, races like that. They'll be given
Fitness on. Look, there's some good horses coming back, as you know, but they'll have that residual fitness on their side.
They will. They will. And I think both Brutal and Ronan's Rock will really begin to excel when they get to 1,400 metres and a mile. Whether that comes as early as this spring or whether they're both more autumn horses, that second part of the season, we'll have to wait and see. But they were the two from that race that stood out beforehand. The hype was all about them and they backed it up with good performances.
Right, second race was a busy finish and Magnesium Rose got there narrowly for Noel Kello.
It was a funny sort of race because 2 weeks ago, same track, we had majority of these mares going against each other under very similar conditions. It was a luckless race for a number of horses. It was a similar story for a few here. Soul Star was desperately unlucky 2 weeks ago. Much the same story for her, unfortunately, for her supporters. She was the best back runner in the race. She was as much as $8 in early markets. She was $6 Saturday morning. Got into 350, but then really softened late out to $5, and that's because there was a support for Magnesium Rose, the eventual winner. We'll get to that in a moment. But Soul Star, no luck. Josephine C, no luck. Basically got bowled over as the field straightened, and she didn't have any sort of chance at all. Missed
Norway again.
There was
only about 3 lengths between the first 6 and 7, so busy finish.
Such an evenly bunched group of mares. Now, Barrage, if they go again and they run in a similar race in 2 weeks, which they may well, on Bletchingley Day, it's going to come down to barrier draws and that race map, and that's where, you know, a lot of the work will be done when these fields come out to find the eventual winner, because basically anything out of the first 6 or 7 across the line could go and win again in 2 weeks' time, given similar circumstances.
All right, on to race number three. They stepped over 1,700 metres.
Guizzo was the winner here, and look, for those that were looking for luckless runners throughout the form card, it was very unlucky at Flemington the start before. He's a horse that sort of needs to be safe for one late run at them. He can appreciate from a bit of cover in his running, but at Flemington a start ago, he was just held up hopelessly. He lost all momentum at about 300 metres, and once he finally got clear, he charged down behind Salence, who is touted as a pretty handy sort of Country Cup style of horse. He was back with Mantastic in this race. On Piccolo, went out hard and working early for the front. He got a little rest mid-race, but the tempo was pretty genuine throughout here, so it was certainly no disadvantage to be back and making up ground late. That's what Guizzo was doing. Mantastic towed him into the race. Unfortunately for the backers of the short price Weir favourite, it was 215 out to 225, but basically held the majority of the market in the lead up and on the race day. I think they're the two from the race that probably got more scope to keep winning, given similar class races. I do think Mantastic is going to be a listed sort of Group 3 class horse in Australia. He's run 3 seconds, and I saw on social media following the race that punters are starting to feel the patience tested a little bit with him, but just remove the emotion of the fact that he was a beaten favourite. Just look at the animal. He's only had 3 starts in this country, 2 of them around the same distance. When he gets to 2,000 metres and beyond, I think we'll really start to see Mantastic come into his own.
Well, look at the pedigree, and that suggests that shark. Heading off to race number 4, that's over 1,400 metres, and Godolphin had the winner here in Demolition. He's a good city horse, 1,400, 1,600. He could develop into a group horse.
He might, yeah. He's only lightly raced a 4-year-old, and it was a waiting game for punters, wasn't it?
Soft win, though. Lane's good at that stalking race.
He is, yeah. And he had to be patient with this horse because he does sort of tend to give up a couple of lengths early in his races and then rely on that big turn of foot that he does have late in the races. He's getting away with that with good performances in this restricted grade. He needs to sharpen up a little bit for mine if he's going to take that step and be a genuine stakes class horse.
He can't drift back and then rely on pulling out maybe a 22 last 4.
What he'll end up being is a perennial run-on, good sectional sort of horse that wins 1 out of 10 starts at, say, listed level, if that's what he's going to do. The punters waited all week to see if he got in the field, and the reaction was immediate when he did get a run. He was 370 after scratchings, and then they just slammed him in. He opened into $2.80 on track with the VOPs, but got out a bit late to 340, so still backable if you liked him, if you missed that early price. The Avenger was the other one in the market, the runner-up, sitting around that $5 mark. So I think the punters got it pretty well right. Slowest of the 3 1,400-metre races on the day, and Mert the Flirt just controlled the speed in front, wanted a dash home. The problem was he had Damien Lane and Demolition just crabbing their way into the race out wide, relying on that turn of foot. He was close enough, if good enough. When Lane released the brakes, he accelerated like he has been doing at 1,200, and the race was over.
Interesting thing with the rail out 1,100, Mick, you could, if you had the cattle, you could win from anywhere.
Yeah, you could. There was some talk it, it could be towards the inside or there might be a run on track. I think the track was, it was pretty fair. I think the horses that were running on and winning were just the best horses in the race.
Yep.
There are a lot of horses back inside that probably never really a winning chance. And I think we can overplay that and say, oh, it's a run on day. But you've got to look at the horses back near the rails. There was one in that race back near the rails that didn't have any luck. Dornier. He's a stayer. He was resuming there on the weekend. 1,400 was too short, but he was fresh. He was midfield. He had plenty to give as the field was turning. He did not get a run at any stage of the race. Very late he got out, and I like the way he picked up and lengthened. He might be in for a good prep. He's a lightly raced young stayer. He was around the mark in the Roy Higgins at listed level last preparation. He might be a horse that could end up in a third-tier staying race over the spring.
Okay, keep a watch out for Dornier. Out of Caulfield on Saturday. We're with Mick Sharkey on Winners. Looking back at Caulfield, we headed to the Mayor's race, and Sharpness was able to cling on and beat Rolito, who simply got too far back.
Yeah, she did. And look, probably that little weight rise on her last run as well might have told. Look, she had to do the work from back in the field at some point to get into the race. And she was able to do it near enough to the minimum last time when winning and winning so well. But carrying that extra weight, The opposition was no better, but it just took that little bit out of her at the finish, whereas Michael Walker and Sharpness were just basically in the 1-1 the whole time. And when the gap came on the rails, he just popped up through. That horse has run as well as she can, Sharpness. 26 into 21 late, so there was some specking for her, but I wouldn't call it a confident move. Rolito was where all the punters' focus was, and we're all kicking ourselves at $1.85 that she goes down by a short half head, but she was very, very good. She still ran a very sharp sectional between the 4 and the 2 of 10.97. You're breaking 11 seconds on a good 4. You're going pretty well. I'd like to think they'd try her in the Cochram in a couple of weeks' time.
That was my question. Surely she's right done enough. Because that race, okay, you've got two. It'll be like the Lawrence. You've got or the Bletchingley, I should say. Mm. So you've got horses with residual fitness, say a Nature Strip in the Bletchingley. So you've got mares with residual fitness and other good mares coming back first up. It's trying to weigh up how it works.
That's right. And the Cochram is a great race for those race fit mares. They win it than not. It's a group three. It's an achievable task. Others resuming have got longer term goals. It's a good sort of hit and run for those horses that are fit and racing well. The fact that she's running those sub 11 splits tells you that she's still going very, very well. The weight relief up to group level next time is going to suit Rolito. Don't write her off. Mm. Modern Wonder was very good, I thought, for her first run with the Weir Camp. Just peaked on her run. She'll be better next time. There was money for her late, 15 into 10. And Marquita, first run for Shane Nichols, who's a very astute trainer down there at Mornington. She couldn't keep up early, but I really liked her last 400. She had the fastest last 200 of the race. So it wasn't a bad run for a horse that went around at near 80 to 1. There's a race in her somewhere at the midweeks.
We headed then to race number six, which was the 2,000-metre race. The support on Friday for Mount Kilcoy was there. He didn't let backers down. I thought the first two, Mount Kilcoy and Masculino, were two horses on the up.
It was funny. They sort of switched places on race day. Everyone wanted Mount Kilcoy early in betting. He was 260 to 320 on the Saturday, and Masculino was $3 early on Saturday into 225. So the market really turned on its head, but Masculina just had no luck at all. Mm. Two good apprentices here in Zach Spain and Ben Allen. Ben Allen on Mount Kilcoy. The other horse just had no luck at all from the outset. He didn't ping the gates, and Zach Spain wasn't able to get across onto the speed as quickly as he would have liked. As a result, he's caught four wide midfield in no man's land. Mm. The horse still surges into the race and is looking a winning chance with 300 to go. The effort's just told late. Mount Kilcoy had a far better run. Ben Allen chimes in at the right time. I loved his work at about the 1,000 metres when he noticed that Zach was caught out wide. He just jumped onto his back.
And made that move?
Yeah, just gave himself a bit of a two-length margin on the back of Masculino. So it wasn't as if he was right up on his backside, but he just sat there and just waited and then got the tag into the race, closed the margin on the horse, and away he was. The other horse that I think we should keep an eye on from the race, probably for next preparation, he's a 12-month horse, this one, is Legal. He was okay, three wide, no cover, first prep. Took the lead around the turn and looked like he was going to be in the finish, but he just got tired that last 200. To me, that's a horse that's come to the end of his prep. Freshen up, he might be able to bounce back.
Mm. Feature of the day was the Group 3 Sir John Monash Stakes over 1,100 metres. I was listening to the races on Saturday and looking at a bit of the form. When doing the form, I just kept on coming back to the class runner. Now, this bloke's run second in the Newmarket. Second in Arupa Clark, has been up in Queensland with the G1s. Here he is bouncing back to a Group 3, B. Rawilla on board, great affinity with the horse. You were very bullish on Friday with Matt on the Friday form, and the punters latched on, and he was simply too good.
Yeah, they did. It took them a while to come around to that proven Group 1 class form. I was actually surprised at how long it took for Voodoo Market to shorten up, and maybe that's a product of the focus of punters at this time of year. There's footy, we're deep, you know, we're getting towards finals, all the focus is on the footy. The racing is just starting to warm up. Maybe we're not as in tune with the form and the horses and how they're going. Maybe sound bites from Kieran Maher and co talking about Jukebox weighs into the market and those early moves, because Jukebox was the only horse they wanted at early markets, despite the fact the form around him, even at group level, as we touched on last week, was suspect. No doubt he's a talented horse, and he's going to make a horse at this level and probably a touch better. But Saturday was the day to beat him, and Voodoo Lad was in the right place at the right time, back to his best at a track he loves, with a rider that he loves at a distance where he's unbeaten. It was a great recipe, and he was 350 into 280 on the day and won very, very nicely. I wouldn't be jumping off Jukebox yet. He'll find a couple of nice races in the spring, and I think he'll be a really nice autumn horse. Did have that interrupted two-year-old campaign.
Mm.
A few things have gone wrong for Jukebox in his life, but the ability is definitely there.
What did you think about Ashlar? I thought it was a good run.
Yeah, it was a good run. You wonder how much that win with 63 kilos took out of him last time. That was such a Herculean effort.
It was.
You know, and okay, he's at weight for age and he's racing well, but gee, you know, that they can't tell us how they're feeling, and he might have been showing all the signs on the training track at three-quarter pace.
If only they could, yeah, Michael. If only they could.
If only Mr. Red was a bit faster.
does Vertilad go on to the Bletchingly now?
Oh, he would have to, I would think. And, you know, he might bob up in a Memsey or a Lawrence. Mm. You know, they're achievable targets for him as well at 14 because we know he's so effective at that trip as well.
Skip to race number 8 over 1,400 metres, and Mandela Effect at odds got the cash from back in the field.
Yeah, Scotty Brunton told Matt Stewart on Trainer Talk on Saturday morning that he thought this horse would be his next good one, but he did say, you know, maybe 6 months away, maybe 12 months away.
He's a good trainer, Scotty.
He arrived a lot earlier, didn't he? You know, he brings the right horses to Melbourne.
Well, they don't do it for practice.
No, they don't.
When they bring a horse over here, you know it's okay.
Right, yeah, and he knows the benchmark you need. Mm. So the ones he's brought over in recent weeks, and Life on the Wire, which ran against Rolito earlier, I think she's a horse to follow from the meeting. But Mandela now, Mandela's Effect, it's interesting to see where they go with him. If they just make it a hit run, go back and get ready for the summer carnival in Tassie, or if they have a look around and, you know, try and grab one more before the change of season here and this horse becomes a four-year-old and life gets a little bit tougher for him. Really good win. He's up to Melbourne off-season class. He was helped by the speed of the race. There was a genuine tempo set with Summer Sham and Al Passam up in front, but they hit a wall at the top of the straight and caused a bit of a traffic jam, which gave those horses out wide and making ground like Mandela Effect. The chance to pick up ground while others slowed down. So they probably didn't have to work as hard as they normally would have between, say, the 500 and the 300 with others running into traffic. Snitzer Peg was one of those horses jammed up behind the leaders. It's a messy race for him. Messy race for Street Chic, who was well backed, 6 into 460 on the day. Mandela's Effect takes the money away and obviously puts himself forward as a Taswegian to watch in months to come.
Indeed. And before we head to Rick McIntosh at Murtoa, the last race, busy finish. Malay's got the cash, but gee, Widgie Turf was very game with a 61.
I think that as far as the horses to follow from the meeting, there's three here that we really need to touch on. Widgie Turf gave them all weight, tried really hard. Egan was just outridden by Williams routing the turn. He just put him in a little hole for as long as he wanted. Oh, Mitch Aitken, sorry. Held him in that pocket as long as he could, and then asked Malaise for the effort. Widgie Turf and Mitch were just held in a tricky spot. Call Me Handsome was great, pocketed. Similar story when Widgie Turf and Malaise went around him, but chased really hard. Last 200 was great. He's ready for 1600. Back him next time. And Mask of Time, first up off a soft prep last time when he wasn't at his best form. Trained at the beach now. He'd be better for that run as he gets towards 2000. Maybe a race like the Naturalism will suit him. He's a very good horse on his day.
Before we head to a Murtoa, Mick, horses to follow from Caulfield.
Widgie Turf, Call Me Handsome, Mask of Time out of the last, Life on the Wire out of that race 5, Mayor's race. I think they're definitely the four I want to be following from the meeting.
Michael Sharkey, thank you very much for the Caulfield review.
No worries.